Welcome everyone to this cold and snowy day on the 14th of January, 2024. We're moving into a new phase of our life, a new year of our life, with rebirth occurring underneath the freezing earth. But the earth actually takes a sap down so that it can create new roots to support new life. Most of the time, we don't think about that. But actually, when I worked with my mother on her garden, it was one of the most potent creative seasons of the year, and she helped me to see the beauty of it as we were fertilizing where we had previously dropped bulbs in the earth. We knew they would be coming up shortly as brand new, beautiful hyacinths and tulips and jonquils, and not too long behind that, we were going to have the beautiful yellow forsythia that would deck the hedges with bright light inside the hedge. So it is still a very verdant and glorious time of our year. And I'd like to think that some of our burrowing up inside will actually give us time to find that peace within where all things are born, and the quiet where all things are healed. The sharing of space and comfort and caring where all relationships are made new with brand new reverberating love. So thank you for being here and to join us in this blessing for this day. We had a wonderful conference call session with our blessing givers yesterday, in which we are going to be working on Saturdays for a while just to get our union all synchronized and perfectly in the dance with spirit, so that we can be the best facilitator that we can be for your connection with God and the Holy Spirit and the love of Christ. On top of which, we come here as a community to share our love with one another. If we are blessed and fortunate, I think that we're going to have Nancy on the call today. I haven't seen her yet.
I'm here. But I'm here.
Oh, hi, Nancy. How
hi.
Are you? I know you're buried underneath a snow block in Missouri. So.
We are. It's like I think it's 1 degree here, and we were supposed to leave this morning, but driving back through Little Rock and Texarkana, I think it was going to be, and even the Dallas area, I think it was going to be some precipitation that was going to, you know, make it prohibitive to drive. So we're hunkering
yeah.
down. And like you said, everything you said about this kind of the quiet and the blanket of white, it's really quite lovely up here, but it's cold.
Of course it's cold. I was just speaking last night with our webmaster, Tim, who lives in the northern part of Wisconsin. And they were having a blizzard come in, and I just went, well, what's new? You know, that's the way life is for you, buddy. But he and his wife love it. Their family, actually, they have a large family. Reminds me a lot of you and Gary. I mean, they've got six kids. I think it's six. Maybe it's only five. But so many grandkids. Extended family. And they all migrated up to the northern country because they love it. And it's not exactly my cup of tea, but, you know, I can understand, because I do love this season in the South. Not if the season was longer, I wouldn't love it so much. But anyway,
right?
I do love it, you know, for the rebirth that it presents. And I think we can soak that up a little bit today and take it into our heart as a loving celebration of how life always rebirths itself. It always is working on life. Even when we think it's gone to the deep depths of nowhere or underneath the soil, it's still working on it because life never dies. I mean, that sounds like an obvious statement, but it's true. Life never dies. And it just transitions into another state of development, adaptation, growth, and becoming the next step of its existence. But it never dies. And that's why focusing upon life is such a healing and therapeutic thing to do that will always take us into the right direction. Well, Nancy, would you like to take over the board?
I would. I would love it. And hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be here today. I just ache for this each week. So I'm so happy to see so many of you here. And we do have, it looks like we have Stormy. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Today he's Snow Stormy.
Yeah, I was going to say, an apropos name, right?
Snowstorm. I want to give blessing for when I quit shivering. Because, boy, we got hot tea today, not Texas cold tea. But I was up in Odessa at a church for a little while, sleeping there. A lady had invited me to her place after your book debut, Glenda. And I went back to Odessa with her to stay at her house. And then they asked me to do some music at their church. And I stayed there for a couple of weeks. There was a big snowstorm there. And two men came in to the church. I gave them a sandwich and hot cocoa. But the congregation I called would not let them sleep on the pews. I went, they were just afraid. So what I did was I gave these two men, they were oil well workers, and they'd gotten in too late. And I gave them my two, the two biggest heavy coats that I had so they could survive. And I did that knowing that if I ever needed those heavy coats again, God would provide. I knew. And after that, I never needed those heavy coats again because I quit living outside, got a motor home and other places. But I've never needed those big, heavy coats again. But, you know, the point I'm making is that I knew God would provide for me in my most immediate need if I needed it. And I just want to give thanks for my ability to trust in the Lord that way.
That's great, Stormy. And it's true. It is absolutely true. I could tell probably a dozen stories in my life that were just about that critical, or maybe, well, just about. Okay. And you know, this is the thing. We think of faith and say, well, my faith is strong. Because I know God can do whatever he can do. That really isn't the purest state of faith. The purest state of faith is knowing God will do. Not can.
Yeah.
We humans can do. We evaluate our abilities. Can I do this? Can I do that? And we make a list of all the things we can do. And then we know that because we can do, we will do. All right. Well, let's turn that equation around. For God, he simply will do. Will. He will. And so we might ask, well, then if he will do, why hasn't he done it yet? Why am I still cold or still upside down in my bank account? Why hasn't he done it? Well, he has. The variable is, are we ready to receive?
Yeah, that's why I like to support this blessing call, Glenda, because ever since I was 8 years old, when I asked God to speak to me like Abraham, I get to know, not believe, I get to know, unequivocally know. And I've seen how it's applied in my life when I quit being a crude, rude, and socially unacceptable. Once we get that out of the way, we get back into the being able to receive the blessings that we are and bless our neighbors. And it's just wonderful to see this community and the world connecting in a way that we can bless each other and receive the blessings of who we are.
Yes.
Amen.
All right. Well, next to the next shivering phone call.
Okay. All right, Stormy. Well, as always,
we'll warm up the heart. We'll warm up everybody's hearts here.
Okay.
Thank you, Stormy. So good.
Bye-bye.
I love that. You're helping us all to get into that receiver mode, and that's just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Stormy. We have more callers, Glenda. And before they start, I don't want to forget to ask for a blessing for my stepdaughter, Ellen, and her sister, Katie. The reason we came up here was to attend their mom's service. She passed a little bit before Christmas, and we had a beautiful ceremony, and Gary sang, and everything went well, and it was a gorgeous day, and now we might get snowed in, and that's okay, too, because we're just going to kind of enjoy family in this time to honor her life, and so it's been precious, but keep her, Ellen and Katie and Linda, who passed her soul journey. Thank you, everybody, for we add her to the blessing today. So I just wanted to remember that. Here we go. Okay, we have hi, Caroline. I'm so glad you're here.
Hi, yes, and I feel kind of guilty because I'm in Maui and the weather is nice and warm, so I'm not dealing with any snow.
That's okay.
But,
accept what you've got. Be
right.
In the spirit of receiving.
Yes, well, I send sunshine and beautiful ocean energy to everybody in the call. So I wanted to ask for some blessings today for two people who have health problems. My friend Amber has serious metastatic cancer, and she really needs some blessings. She's got tumors in her liver, and it's really not good. And so I'm hoping that she's going to be able to pull through she's super young. She's in her 30s, so.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of sad that she's going through this. So she needs everybody's blessings. And then the second person is my friend Steve, who's having some major issues with hernias. And he is only on Medicare, so he doesn't have great health coverage. He needs to go and find some good surgery, that's going to be good for him, so he doesn't have a surgeon who really knows what he's doing. And so that's going to be a good challenge, finding someone who's going to be providing the right kind of treatment for him. So I'd like blessings for all of those two situations to be going really smoothly, and that good health will follow both these people.
You have it, Caroline. We've got them in our heart, we've got them on our list, and they'll be in our blessing.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Caroline, for always remembering your friends and family.
Yeah.
I really love that.
And Nancy, blessings to your family, going through that tragedy. May Yeshua provide a wonderful journey for onto the new stage.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, love you all.
Love you too. We have Mary. Hi, Mary, your line is open.
Whoops, hi Nancy, can you hear me?
We can't.
Perfectly, yeah.
Okay, hi you guys. Hi Glenda and hi Nancy, I love you both. And I'll be brief so others can talk, but I just wanted to say, I I was so grateful to be on the call for the Blessing Givers this weekend, and it just so happened to be the anniversary of the date when I was ordained a minister of Spiritus, and both of those things are so sacred to me, and I haven't walked into the ministry in the capacity where I officiate or have participated in things per se as a minister, but I do try to live the ministry and to walk with that deep honor and remembrance and consciousness of, wow, I'm a minister of love, and I think that's what we all are here to be. And so I'm so grateful for both of those things. And I also wanted to say I'm in the midst of both deep sorrow and great joy. And I think the blessings and this community and the ministry of Spiritus has really taught me how to widen the wingspan of my heart and how to increase the capacity of my heart to hold both of those things simultaneously, joy and sorrow, and how to navigate everything as just part of the beauty of this life and the things we're called into and inside of as we journey. So I just wanted to thank you for all of these blessings, and I love you all, and I'm thinking of you all, and I'm in very, very cold Ohio, but I'm sending warm thoughts to all of you.
I know. Well, thank you, Mary. We love you so much and love hearing from you. So congratulations on your anniversary of ordination, and we are just so, so happy to have you. You know, we, Spiritus Church ministers are not really functioning as an organized group so much as we are an outreach, social connection one to another, reaching out into the world with love, with service. And this is actually what Yeshua said to his disciples: go out, serve, love, teach the truth, take the truth out to the world. And of course, a very big part of the truth was love and his teachings of love, his teachings of forgiveness, his teachings of repentance. And there's so many things we can offer and teach and share that don't really require ministers to come together, although it could be actually quite nice. We just haven't been at the point where that seemed to be a priority. So don't feel bad that you're not engaging in that side of being a minister, because only a few of our ministers do, and those are the ones who mostly are just in touch with me. You're not neglecting any part of your duty, because your duty is to live in a heart of love, to reach out to others and help them discover their heart of love. To the degree that you can, reach out into the world and bring truth, bring light, bring understanding, bring peace. And you're doing all of those things. So I want to thank you for that service, Mary, because you are an angel of light. And we just love hearing your voice. So there.
Yeah. Well, I love you, and God bless you all. And just really quickly, Glenda, you helped me so much the other day when you spoke about the difference between joy and happiness, because I never quite understood or felt like I had a relationship to joy, but you said joy is our connection with God in our heart, and it rises spontaneously, and it never goes out, and it's the background sound of our union with God, and so I am joyful. So thank you, my love. Yeah.
You're welcome. You know, I'll just say that again, that comparison. Happiness is what we get in the world. When life is working for us, we're doing well with it. It doesn't mean we have to be prosperous, beautiful, famous, or any of those things, or visit Disneyland every year. No, happiness is just when we make life work, you know. But that's life and the living in the environment we dwell in and share with others. When we're making it work, we're happy. Joy is some of the greatest joy that has ever been expressed was the Apostle Paul in the prison of Rome. And I'm sure he was not making life work in the world. He was a prisoner with very brutal treatment. Some of the letters that emerged from prisoners in the apocalypse, not the apocalypse, the Jewish death camps and prisons.
The Holocaust, yeah.
The Holocaust is the word I was looking for, yeah. Some of the people that have survived great poverty and hardship in wars and revolutions in other parts of the world. And they write poems of joy because what happens to them is they see that no matter what happens in the world, the soul is never captured. And that is an eruption of joy.
Oh, amen. Thank you so much, Glenda. Thank you. And God bless us all. And thank you, Yeshua.
Absolutely.
And All right. I'll say goodbye and God bless
us. Continue
everybody
with your joy. Okay. Yes.
Okay, honey. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. You sure
Bye.
Do live the ministry, and that's just everything, right? So thank
right.
you so much for calling today. Glenda, our board is clear, so community, come on. We've got lots of time here together today, and we'd love to hear your wonderful sharings, whether it's about something you need or joyful thing you want to share, like Mary. Just come on board. We're ready for you.
Okay. Yeah, we sure are ready. Well, you know what the consequence of not talking is. That you have to start talking.
Well, we like that though. Well, we do have Eva here, Glenda. I'm going to open her line. Eva, welcome today. We're so glad you're here.
Hi. Last week I mentioned my niece and her husband who had cancer and was in hospice. Well, he passed away
yes.
this week. So blessings to their family, and my niece and her family. I'm sure it's difficult. He wasn't that old. He was in his early 60s, I guess. And so I would like some more blessings for that family and for his
Definitely.
Family.
Absolutely. Well, they are in a great state of healing, and he too. Because when we transition, no matter how wonderful it is, we left pieces of ourselves behind that other people are clinging to because they don't want to let go of us. And, you know, we've all experienced that. I lost my mother. I did not want to let go. She didn't want to let go of me, but she actually came to me in a visionary sense. And said, it's time to let me go. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. It's time. You lived your life independently of my influence over it. And I said back to her, but you will always be an influence over my life. And she says, if it continues from now, then it's the right kind of influence. But you're a big girl now. Take over. So, I mean, those are basically her words to me. But there is healing that has to take place on both sides. So it's a time of healing, and this is one of the reasons
that in the history of most cultures and most religions, the first 30 days after the passing of a loved one are quiet days in which reverence is paid toward the memory of the person, toward the effects of the person, the family, and for the most part, life is lived as much as possible in privacy with a state of peace that is kind of like if you're recovering from anything where you need healing. So we take them under our wings to offer them the peace of healing and the recovery from a fracture that will definitely heal and be a blessing to the departed one and those still here remembering. The love will always be there, but the connection has to be healed now. It's time. Yeah. And so we take them into our, and the same with your family, Nancy. They, you know, your family will be grieving, and it's natural. It's natural to grieve because you've lost something very dear, and that is a tangible earthly connection with someone who is very, very important to your life. So it's all natural.
Yeah. And Glenda, you know, Ellen had a little bit of a challenging relationship with her mom, but I've got to say that what you're speaking of, maybe because of that challenged relationship, that we saw just all kinds of healing happening just in the last week. You know, it was just, and yesterday when things were just a celebration of her life, it was really palpable that there was something going on where they felt better. You know, it was amazing to see. So I'm really glad you said that.
That's great. Yeah. Well, it's very important to observe that and to know that the person who transitions may be in a state of joy to not be suffering from the illness any longer, in a state of joy with seeing heaven on the horizon. But that person is also in a state of transition just because they left the physical part of the transition does not mean the transition is over. It will take them a little while because they don't totally want to pick up all of their baggage and take it with them. They want to have the time to experience their love for everyone, their caring, their attachments, and lovingly and responsibly evaluating what was important, what was not important, what you're taking, what you're leaving behind. So there, that transition is not over just because we have a memorial service.
Right.
It's not. It's not over just because the body was left behind. It's not over with the memorial service. It takes a little while. And a lot of us that have been through this have many stories to tell. I'm sure you do too, Nancy. We won't take the time to tell them on our line today, but I'm just saying what I am saying to encourage you to embrace this time because sometimes we can feel the pain is so bad, I just want to shake it off. I just want to say goodbye and forget and walk on down the road. Don't do that. Don't do that. It takes time. It takes time to heal. And getting back also to a comment that I briefly made to Stormy, but didn't feel that I should take time elaborating on it. We were talking about receiving. You know, the God, of course, can. Oh, dear.
Everything okay?
My goodness. No, I'm not going to get it. I'm trying to cut the call. And I don't know. I'm on a new phone, just learning how to do it. Let's just hope whoever it is goes to voicemail. There.
All right. You're looking good.
All right. So I wanted to mention this about receiving. The question is, why are we not receiving if the blessings have already been given? Well, the number one reason is that we don't think that we're worthy of receiving. We're holding it back because we have an unworthiness issue. But there's also another reason, and that is there's something else you need to receive first, and you don't want to receive that. But you gave me a clue on how to make this really palpable for everybody, because you mentioned, you know, Gary and I would love to be driving home, but we realize we need to stay here and hunker down and just enjoy the snow. What you basically decided to do is receive what was in front of you first, and then the roads will be safe enough to drive. You see, there's often stuff that we have to receive first, and we're not receiving that. For example, after losing someone we love, we have to receive the grief. We have to receive the fact that they're gone. We don't want to look at that. We don't want to look at what life is going to be like now. We have to receive it. There's much we don't want to receive in order that we may receive the prosperity that comes from it, the joy that comes from it. You know, as a student, we want to, let's just say we go enroll in the university. We say, well, why can't I just graduate tomorrow? You know, I can learn this later on as I need it. No, 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 my friends. You got to earn that degree. You've got to receive the information before you can receive the degree. So God takes a look at us and he thinks, I could give. I can give anything I want to give. I'm God. But what do they need to receive first? He doesn't want to deprive us from what we need to receive first. Sometimes it's a lesson. Sometimes it's a new friend. Sometimes it's looking at new prospects on the horizon that we can move into that make us available to receive the blessing we prayed for. So there's often a long list of things we need to receive, and we want our dessert first. We come to a meal of healthy food that mom has prepared for us. And among that healthy food may be a dish of beets. There might be a dish of spinach. But over on the counter is this yummy-looking cheesecake. And we say to mom, you know, I think I'll have a slice of that cheesecake. And mom says, you're going to get a slice of the cheesecake, but if I have to put it in the cupboard to keep you from getting it right now, I'll be willing to do that. Eat your beets, eat your spinach, and take it with your chicken. Get a full meal, okay? And then your cheesecake will be nice for you to have as a reward for doing the healthy stuff first. Well, can you imagine that our Creator would be more irrational than your mom? Your mom is being totally rational. The soul of honor, nurturing, caring. Can you imagine our Creator would just say, oh, what the heck, go ahead and eat the cheesecake? No. That cheesecake is in the cupboard. But we just don't know when he's going to open the cupboard door. And it may be that there's other stuff we have to receive first.
That's great.
We may have to do. We may have to learn something. We may have to connect with something or someone. We may have to forgive a few things. You know?
Yeah.
That's not out of the question. We may have to confess a few things, like a few things we did that got us into trouble. we're trying to pray our way out of. That's happened to more than one person. But we're here to offer you the blessing which ensures that you know that cheesecake is in the cupboard. And we even tell you where that cupboard is. It's inside you. It's already been given to you. You just have to open the door and receive it.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the cheesecake. I've been waiting for the cheesecake for a while. So I'm...
I know, Eva. I know.
Oh, dear. Yeah. I still haven't heard anything from what's going on with my stomach issue. So I'm...
You know, what's going on right now, Eva?
You're asking me or you're telling me?
I'm asking you, what's going on right now?
Oh, right now I'm still waiting. I need to find out what this is in my, that's bothering my stomach with a lot of pressure. And I'm not able to do a whole lot because I can't stand up for very long. And I need to find out what that's all about, but I have to have another CAT scan to see what they have to say about it, if anything. X-ray did not show anything major, so we shall see. So I can use some more of those blessings to
You've got them.
Thank you.
You've got them. All right. Bye-bye, Eva. We love you, and we want the best for you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
I know. Thank you, Eva, for calling. And I know that message really helped and certainly helped me. We have, I believe it's Nancy from Austin.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Really good.
Please. Hunker down someplace safe. You guys are precious to me. Make sure just when you come back home, you know, that it's in safe travels and all that stuff.
Well, thank you. That's the plan.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Of course, they will be in our blessings. To get your safe.
Great. I'm on cloud nine. I kind of figured out that years ago, we had deaths in the family. I had health problems. I have health problems. So I haven't quite gotten to that point where maybe I can do it myself. Because I used to do it a lot of things by myself sometimes, and it's gotten more and more haphazardly. But darn it, today I fixed the toilet. By myself, and it's doing great. So,
yay,
maybe, so maybe now I could get a guy to help with the dryer. So, it's just lessons that you got to get through and know that, you can do it and get through it. And so thank you. Thank you, those above. Thank you for being with me and, getting ideas in my head of what is wrong and letting me run into people that can help and give me an idea. It's still, we're still waiting for the MRI from my sister. I'm scaring the doctors with high blood pressure. So blessings for me to bring down my blood pressure. That's it. It's cold down here, but we don't have the freezing rain yet, Nancy. So, everything weather-wise should, not totally freezing yet. So, if you want me to run over and get some dripping faucets,
We've already reached out to the neighbors and they're terrific. So the chickens are good and they have water and they're hunkering down. So we're in good shape. Thank you.
Well, after this, I'll put out some more bird seed and
oh, thank you. That's so sweet.
So all should be fine here. Thank you for everything.
I want to include, especially in the blessing today, a blessing for all the animals that are affected by this Arctic storm that has blown in. And we can pretty much take it for nature's blessing that the animals in the far north are taught by Mother Nature, and they prepare for this season. I know some of them are caught in it, and some of them will not emerge in the spring, but they're prepared for it, and they know pretty much what to do, where to go. I used to cry for the birds when I was a little girl, and because I said, well, they're just a little thing with feathers on it. How can they stay warm? And my mother said, God teaches them how to stay warm. As long as the climate is relatively close to the indigenous experience in a part of the world. But when dangers break out, like fires and floods or extreme cold that exceeds the preparation of animal life, my heart really goes out to them. And I'm thinking, people, you need to wake up and take care of your pets. You need to be aware of how the animals are possibly suffering. I had a little experience of that last night at my front window. One of my little cats was at the window, and I noticed on outside the window was another cat wanting to come in through the window. Well, of course, I couldn't let that cat in because we would have cat fights all over the house. And I tried to go outside and took a box out and with a blanket in it. But, you know, he wasn't prepared to know what to do. Those of us who are already in a responsible position, we need to have compassion and think about all levels of potential hazard and suffering in our region, and just live with care and live with love for one another. I think that when Yeshua said live with love for one another, he was not talking only about the human race. He was talking about all of life. We need to care. We need to care for all of life, and because we're part of it. It's our infrastructure of existence. What would you do if there was only one example of life left? Well, you wouldn't be alive anymore either. So I guess that's a pointless question. But the fact is, all of life is its own infrastructure, and we all belong together. And yes, we are instructed by nature and God to prepare, but some of us didn't have the wherewithal to prepare. Some of us didn't have the foresight to prepare. And that's when we need to hunker down together and extend, well, just like Stormy did, he gave his two coats away. And sometimes we need to give away our two coats. I sent a box of blankets up north very recently because of some people that really didn't have the wherewithal to get through the days that were coming. So it's not always the things you can do for someone. It's what comes from caring that then tells you how you might extend your well-being in life to assist another. I'm finding that compassion has a great intelligence that goes with it. It's the intelligence a mother has for her children. When they're babies, they can't talk. They can cry. They can be fussy. They can let you know they're not happy, but they can't tell you what's wrong. And it takes a depth of compassion, not just for that one child, but the compassion that comes from a preceding experience with life. So you know what's going on with you when you're fussy like that. You know, you could extend the perception to another person, and that is called empathy. Empathy is very intelligent, very. Sympathy is loving, but it's not always that intelligent. Sympathy is like being in harmony with the way someone is feeling. If someone is crying, you cry too, but you don't know why, and you don't know how to fix it, but you feel it, and you share the feeling. Have you ever walked into a room where everyone is laughing, and you start laughing too? You don't know why. You don't know why. You're holding it in faith that it's something genuinely funny, and you want to find, oh, what are we laughing at? You know, that is synchronicity, which is wit. It means in harmony with, and sympathy is to be in harmony with. Sometimes people are actually quite selfish in their sympathy. You give them a sad story, and they'll say, oh, I can remember at least 5 or 10 times I was in that condition, and then they go in to tell you about their story. So I know you've been there, or you wouldn't be laughing. It's so true. But yeah, empathy is really letting go of yourself and being another with intelligence. This is what we hope we're going to get from our doctors. We don't always get it. Sometimes we get the big pharma prescription and no empathy at all. You know, this is actually what Eva needs is a caregiver with great empathy who can actually travel inside that knee she's having a problem with. And of course, this is the way Yeshua heals. He has empathy for everything.
I was just going to say he was the master of empathy, right?
Of course. Yes. And as they went along through life, the apostles became quite empathetic themselves. I'm not really sure they were there in the beginning, because after he ascended into heaven, which should have been an event of great triumphal joy, they were sitting together in the upper room, moaning and going, poor us. We don't have him anymore. What are we going to do? You know, they were just sympathizing with themselves when there was nothing to be sad about. The only thing they were sad about is they were going to have to go out in the world without him. They weren't going without him, but they thought they were. Okay. So they were in this poor me phase. And that's when he sent the Holy Spirit, because he was probably up there saying, you guys, you really bend me over the barrel. Here's my spirit. It's going to go with you. I'll be with you always. I told you I'd be with you always. Why didn't you believe me? Okay. And he so fills them with a spirit. They literally burst into flames on their shoulders. So that's empathy, my friends, when you can so literally be the other person. You climb inside and heal their spirit. And he still does that. He still does that.
Amen.
Yes, he does.
He does. I told this story yesterday to our blessing givers. So if you're one of them, pardon me for repeating it, but I think it's worth repeating. It's a story that a brief little honorarium that Princess Di paid to Mother Teresa. She had just visited Mother Teresa at her ashram, and she was having a news conference telling about her experience with Mother Teresa, and she said, "I have been such a privileged person to meet most of the great people on this planet. I have been touched by the souls of so many. I've
everything I needed or wanted. But she said, when I looked in the eyes of Mother Teresa, my life was changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if she walked inside me. She knew me from the inside out. And I will never walk alone again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
That's a woman who knew empathy. Okay?
Uh-huh.
She didn't waste her time with sympathy. Actually, sympathy is a brush off pretty much. Oh, you poor thing. Here, let me see if I've got some money in my purse.
Bless your heart.
Bless your heart. We'll see what we can do for you. Yeah.
Wow.
Empathy is when you really join into the life of another. And we would hope that that is true for families. It isn't always true, but that is an ideal state when it is, most especially between married couples, that they are living in union with one another, not just living side by side, but living in union. And that, of course, is what marriage means in its ultimate and ideal state of interpretation. So there's a lot of intelligence in empathy, mm-hmm. and a lot of creativity, a lot of truth, and a lot of miracles that happen because mm-hmm. of it. I'm not sure how I got started on this, but I was responding to something that you said, Nancy, and I think I've made the point, though. So
yeah,
I
don't remember what I said, but
what?
It was perfect.
That's fine. You know, sometimes people just have to talk through you, you know, just to make a point. And when that happens, it's a glorious feeling. And, Nancy, I was thinking of, you know, when you were talking about your celebration of people, when my aunt passed on, that was, it came kind of glorious. And I get feelings of, you know, empathy. You can call it empathy. You can call it, you know, just feelings of energy that's going around. And I felt the family, the people that had passed on above us in the church and mm-hmm. waiting for, you know, and I felt Annabelle there. She's my aunt. I felt her there, and I felt Mom there. I felt all the people that had passed on. And afterwards, we gathered at the farmhouse, and there were generations of people, of children, you know, that I'd grown up with, now grown, bringing their children and celebrating the generation that was before us. So, mm-hmm. It wasn't just my aunt. It was all of them. And we brought the last surviving person of that generation. He's still around. It's Aunt Annabelle's husband, Uncle Jim. He's still here. He's still around. And my, mm-hmm. love it. Love that he's still here. But, yeah, it was a glorious celebration of her life and the lives of those who had passed on. So, yeah. I've been there, Nancy. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
This was a wonderful, wonderful conversation.
And we have
God
one more caller.
Nancy.
So, Nancy, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you so
That's
much.
Just about perfect. Our one caller.
It's our Sarah. We love you, Sarah. Hi.
Oh, I love you. Aloha, Nancy and Glenda and beloved community. I wanted to just send my love and ask for a special blessing from Yeshua for my beloved dad, Peter,
and for all of our elders, our precious elders, and blessings for them. And then also a blessing for Martin Luther King Jr. Day tomorrow. God bless his mission of peace, of justice, racial, economic justice, and also an end to war and all of the economic forces, right, that propel that. So such a beautiful teacher and follower of Yeshua was Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and just wanted to ask for that blessing and offer my love to all.
That's a great request, Sarah. Thank you for making that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not enough really to just have a Memorial Day on the calendar. The important thing is to understand why it's there. What are we remembering? And what is the importance that it should hold a whole day on our calendar? So that's wonderful. Thank you for remembering that.
Yes, thank you so much.
Oh, so welcome. Thank you so much.
Well, I think that's a wonderful place.
What's that?
I think that's a wonderful place for us to wrap up our conversation.
I do. Thank you, Sarah. Yeah, that was perfect.
It was. All right, everybody. Wherever you are in beautiful Hawaii or our snow-laden Northeast, it's all wonderful. Just accept where you are and what you're going through, and on the other side of that acceptance will be cheesecake. So... if you've been listening to our call, you know exactly what I mean by cheesecake. It's the dessert we want that is always given, but we're not always ready to receive it. And that's why I ask for you to be in a state of surrender as we convey the energy of the Holy Spirit, the love of Christ, and the grace of God to you, to your life, that you can just take it in to your person, your soul, your heart, your body, and let it be there, percolating the next cup of tea or coffee or cocoa or whatever you would drink on a snowy day. And that is just symbolic of the blessings that are stored up for you. And you will have them when you're ready for them. You will recognize them when they come. It is so amazing how over 13 years, people are still coming back, either the next Sunday or maybe even 3 months away, and say, I got everything I prayed for. I got impatient a little bit in between. I thought maybe I'd been overlooked. But it was all there. It just, life just had to move into place, and there it was. So the giving of it is instant. The receiving of it may have a process to be unfolded, revealed, placed in front of you, made available to your youth. So sometimes we do become impatient. And God is a little bit like this millionaire parent that doesn't leave us anything when he passes, and yet it's all in a trust fund that we get to have when we're 25 years old, because he wants to make sure we've actually arrived at the age of reason. And then there's another trust fund when we're 30, and another trust fund when we're 40. So, well, do you think you could speed that up a little bit? He says, really? You tell me when you're ready. You tell me when you're ready, and I will listen. So we want to prepare you for that readiness. That's a big part of what we do for you. One is to just bring the blessings into you, bring the energy into you. And I'll use an illustration that we've used many times before. The whole universe is energetic. It's all. The air is energy. Life, botanical life is energy. The stones are energy. Everything is energy. The ethers beyond our atmosphere, energy. It's all energy in one form or another. And like any form of energy, it requires a unit for receiving. It, just like a radio wave, Wi-Fi, TV, it's all configured to match a receiver. We help to configure that, and you're the receiver. This is why we want you to be really open and relaxed as a receiver. We want to help you relax. We're going to ask you to do some little minor stretching. Nothing that's going to hurt you. Just extending your arm a little bit, moving your shoulder around, that sort of thing. But then we're going to ask you to pray while we're offering the blessing. Because now, why do we do that? God already knows what you need and what you want. You're going to pray for the very simple reason that when you pray, you leave the world. You do. When you pray, you're reaching for God. You reach into your soul. You reach into your heart. You reach into the spirit of your being. And you reach a little further than that into a place where you can almost touch the hand of God. Or maybe you do touch it. You move a little closer to the presence of God. So we want you to pray. And then at the end of your prayer, after your blessing has been given, we want you to go and rest. And I don't mean just relax. I mean lay down on a bed, on a sofa, on a mat. And it's better if your head is not elevated. It's better if you are completely horizontal. The reason for that is because that is your best receiving position, the very best, because your blood pressure is equalized through your whole body. Your oxygen content is equalized through your whole body. The fluids are equalized, and your muscles are not tensed anywhere in your body. You're in your most utterly relaxed position. So if you can, do that. And for at least 7 minutes, if you really relax, really, 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 you might fall asleep, and that's okay. Wake up when you do. You don't put a timer on. You just know. And even for the 7 minutes, just go to the point where you think, okay, this has been 7 minutes. Most of us are pretty aware of when we've gone past the 1 minute impatient mark of our consciousness. And we say, oh, well, okay, I'm not there yet. All right, I'll really relax. Okay. But don't be talking to yourself. Don't even continue your prayer. Because if you do, you'll bring the brain in. And the brain doesn't have the answers. It doesn't know how to even expect or evaluate your blessings. And also, your brain is the biggest consumer of energy in your body. Yes, it consumes more energy than even your heart. So we don't want to imbalance the energy flowing into your body with it going to your brain. If it has to go to a localized place, let it go to your heart. But best of all, just let it disperse through your whole body, heart, soul, undefined expanse of your being, so that it may travel to where it's most needed and can be the most beneficial. So let's begin now.
let's begin. I want you to stand if you can. Otherwise, we'll do this sitting down. I want you to have your feet bare and bottom on the floor. That's why we have you seating, not lounging, but sitting. So your feet can be on the floor and your head with the top of your head pointing up, because you're going to be receiving energy from the upper world. You're going to be conveying it into the earth, receiving it back from the earth, taking it through your whole body, circling it around your heart and out to the upper world. And back and forth, unlimited numbers of times, it will travel at the speed of light and beyond. So you can't count the number of times. It will move through you. This is why we want no blockages. But it's also passing through you so fast, it's hard to even put up a blockage to it. So just be in one your chosen position for now. You will be seated during the receiving of the blessing. I want you received. I want you seated then. Okay? And now we're going to stretch our limbs a little bit. Stretch your arm to the right and move it a little bit like a windmill. Doesn't have to be a big circle. Just whatever is in your comfort zone. We just want to open up your rotator cuff at your elbow, at your shoulder. Okay? And we want you to bend your elbow just a little bit, okay, to open your elbow. Now let's take the left arm, and we're going to extend it as far as we can and rotate it a little bit. Doesn't matter which direction, because we're just stretching now. You know, this is not part of the exercise. We're just stretching. We're going to open your body up, open these joints up. Pull out your arms, both of them. Bend them. Now flap them like a little bird. All right? That draws the muscles around your chest up and down, and it will assist your breathing. Now take your legs and stretch them out as far as you can, and bend your foot forward, so you're going to stretch the hamstrings. Stretch your leg out again and bring that foot forward, stretching the hamstrings. Now point each foot so you stretch the front side of your leg. Extend it again and point your foot so that you stretch your ankle and the front side of your leg. Doesn't that feel good? Now we're going to move our torso just a little bit to the right and then a little bit to the left. Again, Only to your comfort zone. We're not here to do yoga or gymnastic stretches of any kind. We're just here to do opening moves to make sure your body can conduct energy efficiently and expeditiously. All right. So now turn your neck to your right and your neck to your left. Tilt your head back to open up your throat, okay? And now lean your head forward to open these muscles at the back of your neck. It's so important that we get this energy coming up from our spine into the base of our skull. Oh, that's so, so important to do that, because you open up your skull to receiving energy that will relax it from worry, relax it from care, all right? And now lift, as you're doing that, with your head forward, stretching this upper back, I want you to lift your shoulders. Now, with your arms to your side, just move your shoulders up and down just a little bit, because we want to work that area between your upper spine, your neck, and your skull. That area's got to move. It's got to move, and move your shoulders a little forward, now a little back, a little forward, now back. Now rotate them a little bit, okay? And rotate them a little more. And the other one. Good. You're opened up. you opened up. All right, now take a very, very deep breath. I'm trusting that you were just doing normal breaths as you went through that. But we want a deep, deep breath. You want to drop that diaphragm down as far as you can. Push it, and push those lungs out through your ribs. Push it. Take in all the air you can. Hold it for a couple of seconds. Now let it go and drop those shoulders. Okay? Let's take another deep, deep breath. Expand those lungs. Push that diaphragm down. Get all the expansion you possibly can and hold it for a couple of seconds. 1, 2, 3, and now exhale it and drop those shoulders. Good. We're opening more and more. And next, I want you to start doing this four square breath, which is not really a calisthenic breath. It's a gentle breath. It's a normal breath, except that you're going to be mindful of it. Instead of taking your breath for granted, which we all do, because our autonomic nervous system controls our breath, it makes sure, even if you go unconscious, you're still breathing. It makes sure in your deepest dream, you're still breathing. You could be in deep anesthesia in surgery, but you're still breathing. You gotta keep breathing. So we take it for granted, and we don't think about our breath. We just kind of say, oh, well, okay, I'm breathing. I'm okay. And I want you to be mindful of this one now. We're going to breathe out, exhale, to the count of four. And it's going to be your count of four, because some of you may go jackrabbit fast. Some of you may want to take your time and be turtle slow. Really measure. But all that's important is that you count your breath to your four. That's all that matters. Because you're being mindful of it. And part of that mindfulness is appreciating it. Appreciating the fact that you have a breath to give. Yeah. You know, the trees give to you oxygen. Are you mindful that you're giving back anything to life? Well, now's your time to be mindful about it. Give a breath. And give a hoot when you do it. I didn't mean literally. Give like you care. You're giving a breath. 1, 2, 3, 4. That was my count, but yours may be different. Now, pause. Just pause. And let that gift be received. Have you ever given gifts at Christmas and you call the receiver on Christmas morning to see how they liked it? Maybe they haven't even opened it yet. But how rude that you don't just let them have the present without trying to present yourself as the one who gave it. Oh, my goodness. You wouldn't think of doing that. Well, maybe if it was your son, you might do that. But really, I got to stop being the comedian here. This is serious. Let it be received to the count of four. All right? And the next step, of course, is you've got to breathe in. You've got to inhale. Be mindful of that. Something, someone, life is giving you another breath. Yeah. You are being given a breath. Could be the first breath you ever breathed when you were born. But life gave you that breath. So now take that breath in to the count of four and be mindful that you've been given another breath. and pause. Not for another, but pause for yourself. Because there are all different, there are many different parts of you that need that breath. Your soul needs the light that comes from the breath. Your body needs the energy that comes from that breath. Your mind needs the assurance that comes from that breath. And you, the person, needs to be the receiver of that breath. Let that breath be fully received. And then say thank you. And we do it again. One, two, three, four. Give. We're giving that breath. We're giving it one, two, three, four. Pause. One, two, three, four. Receive. One, two, three, four. Pause. Take in. Acquire. One, two, three, four. And again and again. You could do this all day long and your life would be better. You could do this driving the car. You could do this at your desk at work. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to assure you of this. If you do, it will help your blood pressure normalize. It will help your endocrine system produce the right amount of hormones. It will help your digestion. It will keep you from panicking because you might have made a mistake. It will help you know what best to say to the next person you encounter. It will actually help you smile. Being mindful of your breath is very, very calming to life. And this isn't officially practiced in many meditations, but it's breathing is actually the core of all meditations. It's the core of them all. They express it and identify it and pace it in each a different way according to the nature of their practice. And that's fine. A very, very big part of yoga is the breath. Applying it appropriately to a particular movement. And believe it or not, it's a very big part of wrestling. You wouldn't think that on a wrestling mat, you would be focusing on your breath. And yes, it's a very, very big part of baseball, the batter and the pitcher and catching that right breath. Well, it's a very big part of the regimen in many, many practices of life and success. In public speaking, you're taught to be quiet, first of all. Stand up, be quiet, regard the room, look in all directions, and slowly manage your breath. And then, at the appropriate moment in your breathing, you speak the first word. It sets you up for being the best speaker you can be. It is mandatory in teaching. A student asks you, a difficult question, do not react. Never, never react. Because your reaction may just be a reflex from that person, either to agree or oppose, or redirect, or avoid. Pause. Catch your breath, as they say, but instead, I would say, be mindful of your breath. See it through one cycle. Giving, pausing, inhaling, and receiving. And while you're doing that, you're really receiving that question to give the very best answer you can. So what I'm giving you to do is a routine which can be a mastery of life. And it's not exactly the breathing that is done in Lamas in training for the delivery of a child, but that delivery would be unbearable, if not impossible, were it not for scheduled and harmonic breathing. What you do with your breath should not be just left to your autonomic nervous system. You need to be mindful of your breath, and this is a really good place to start if you haven't already mastered it. Okay? So, refer back to this presentation as many times as you need to, because it's unusual that I have this much time before offering the blessing. Usually we talk right up until it's time to stand up and receive or give. So we're here together, and I was really glad that I could give you that little bit of coaching on your breath, because We're going to enter that phase of our, which is the beginning of our blessing. You're going to be in your mindful breath, and I'm going to be offering my prayer to Yeshua. Oh Lord, we humbly come to you, knowing that you have all the blessings of eternity to offer us. And yet you have heard our prayer. You trust it. You're there. And we trusted you. And you care. You're with us till the end. And we come to you. We arrive with a simplicity of being that we don't really know what we ultimately need, but we know that we need you. We know that we need the Spirit of life, which is the Holy Spirit of our God. We know that we need God. We know that we need the Spirit of life that shall move through us and bring with it all the discerned and particular blessings we have asked for. We thank you for the blessing of life. We thank you for being with us through the years of our life, through all the joys and the sorrows that we have known, and for giving us the assurance that you will be with us forever and ever. We extend our request of blessings to those who could not be here in person with us today, and yet they are united with our soul, our family, our friends, our loved ones of long ago, our loved ones yet to come, and all of those who are with us by 6 points of connection. For we are one family Help us to see that and know that. And we pray for our human family that we may be an instrument of peace, that we may bring love and joy, solutions and help. We pray for peace on earth. We pray that the hungry be fed. We pray that the children be held and loved and restored to their innocence so that they may embrace life with that innocence they were created from with God. We ask now that you give us the prosperity we require, prosperity of spirit, of hope, of love, and of substance as well, that we may be strong in our life and joyful in our living, creative in what we can bring to the world and share with others. With all of this, we rest our hope in you. We receive from you your love and charity. And we rest our faith in our one eternal God. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now in conducting this Holy Spirit?
Amen. 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 Your blessing has been given. Now, let's move into a place lying down flat where you can continue receiving it. Just lie there. Don't think. Don't even continue your prayer. Just receive. Be a blank slate upon which the will of God and the gifts of God can be written. Bye-bye for now. And I look forward to being with you next week. And I wish you all the blessings of a new week. Bye-bye for now.